Okay, John chapter 11, 17 through 34. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. This is about Lazarus. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them. To console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for this time. Just want to invite you, Holy Spirit, to come into wherever we are right now, each of us, and speak to us, God. Touch our hearts and revive our spirits, Lord, and help us to connect with you in this time. Help us to pray to you in this time for our church and for one another. Thank you for your word. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. So this is a familiar story for most of us. Lazarus, which is a good friend of Jesus, and someone, Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they send Jesus news that Lazarus has fallen ill. And we didn't read that part, but when Jesus hears the news, it says, because he found out that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for a few more days and then came to Bethany. So by the time he comes to Bethany, where that's where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were living, Lazarus has already passed. So Martha seems like she's the older sister. She comes to see Jesus first and she says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And they have a little bit of a dialogue. And then she goes and gets Mary, her other sister. And Mary comes and says actually exactly the same thing. Mary comes and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And we know the story. After Mary comes to him, Jesus is moved in the spirit. He troubles himself and he prays. And he raises Lazarus from the dead. And Pastor Sam has taught on this before. He said something about Martha, the response that she gets from Jesus is just teaching. You know, she receives a teaching from Jesus, whereas Mary receives, I guess, his action. Mary moves Jesus' heart. And I've always wondered, you know, They both come and they both say the same thing to Jesus. So what is the difference? Why is it that when Martha comes to him, they have a dialogue and she receives a teaching? When Mary comes to him, Jesus is moved in his spirit, he's moved in his heart, and then he goes into action. So I had never noticed this until I was preparing for this message. There was one noticeable difference between Martha and Mary's response, and that difference is their posture. It's their posture. We're not told of Martha's posture, actually, but nothing in the story indicates that she had any particular posture. So just imagine Jesus comes into town, Martha hears of it, and she comes running, and she's probably standing before him. Maybe she's got her head lowered, she's sad, and she has this dialogue with Jesus. But for Mary, we're told specifically what Mary's posture is. It says in verse 32, "Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and she fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" So they say the same thing, but their posture is very different. She falls at Jesus' feet. She runs to Jesus, and when she sees him, she immediately falls to her face and cries out, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That word, fell or fall, it literally means to fall. It could mean from a high place coming down to a low place, or it could mean in terms of if it's used of people, it means they are falling face down, lying prostrate. And this word, if you read in the Greek and if you study where it's used, when used in the context of someone's posture before Jesus or before God, it's almost always either begging for God to do something, or it's a posture of worship. So we read it a lot, especially with Jesus. People come to him, and it says they fell at his feet, and they implore him to do something. You know, "Please heal my daughter. Please heal my servant. Please have mercy." And they fall. You know, you can imagine that, falling at someone's feet, just begging and imploring that person to do something. Or when they do this before Jesus, or many times in the book of Revelation, when they do this in the presence of God, it says the angels, the heavenly creatures, the 24 elders, they fall down and they worship God. And I think in this instance, Mary's not imploring Jesus to do something. Lazarus has already passed, right? Lazarus is already gone, and there is no... In their mind, there is no understanding of the power of Jesus to bring resurrection. And so I believe when she sees Jesus, her immediate response is just to fall at his feet and worship. She has all these questions. She has all these maybe frustrations, anger, sorrow, confusion. But immediately she comes and she just falls, she worships, and then she begins to proceed with her question. It is kind of a question. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." There's an underlying question, which is, why weren't you here? Why weren't you here? I don't understand. But she still responds in worship. Both Martha and Mary must have been heartbroken, completely struck with sadness, broken, confused, upset, disappointed, angry, questioning. And Martha, she begins with a question, and she has an intellectual kind of dialogue with Jesus. She begins with a statement of faith. And, you know, I'm sure that Martha would have gotten to that place of worship as well. You know, Martha was a worshiper as well. And scripture is very clear that Jesus loved Martha. There was no favoritism. It wasn't like Jesus loved Mary more, and that's why when Mary came to him, his heart was moved. She Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And Martha is actually one of the few people in the Bible that declares the divinity of Christ. So there's a very special faith that she has. And Martha is the one that Jesus says, go in and remove the stone, right? Remove the rock that is covering Lazarus' tomb. And she's faithful to move in obedience to do that. So there's a lot of great things about Martha, but Martha begins with dialogue, with intellectual conversation, maybe, or maybe she begins with a question. But Mary begins with worship. She comes and she just falls and she says, I don't understand, but I worship. I don't understand what's going on, but I worship. She surrenders. She comes in humility and she loves Jesus in the middle of her pain, confusion, and I'm reminded of another passage in Job chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. It says, after all these things have happened to Job, it says in verse 20, and Job arose, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, and he fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job comes before God in a similar place where he doesn't understand. God has taken away things. God has stripped him away of all these things. He now knows I'm naked. There's nothing that I have. But he falls on the ground. That same word, fall, is the same word that is used of Mary in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Just want to quickly share my experience. So you guys know, most of you listening probably know, our church, we had a case of one of our brothers having COVID-19, and he happened to be a Sunday school teacher, and there was about seven children that was in the class with him. And Joel happened to be in that class. So let me just give you a quick timeline. On Friday night is when we get confirmed that this brother has COVID-19. And as my role as executive pastor, it's just been crazy this whole COVID-19 season. Every weekend there is some kind of a case, some link to our church members trying to figure out what we need to do. So it's been hectic for 3, 4 weeks or so. And then that Friday, we find out about Chris, and we also find out that the government has put a ban, so we have to close church down, and so we have to figure out all this online stuff while in the back of my mind wondering and worrying about Joel because he had been in the same class with brother. And then praise God, Sunday service was great. It was the first time we meet online for service, and we actually have a very powerful service, and it was great. And I get a call from the Department of Health. So I'm cooperating with them, giving them the names of the children that were in the class, what context, what kind of meeting they had. And then I think I feel good. I'm like, okay, I'm cooperating with the government. Joel doesn't look sick. Everything seems okay. So I'm in a good place. I come home, and then I find out that the Department of Health has been calling these families and telling them basically, your children need to go to quarantine camp. And just immediately my heart sank. I was like, what does that mean, quarantine camp? And so obviously both my wife and I were freaking out, and they actually called us on Sunday, but we missed their call. So we're worried. We created a chat group with all the parents of that group discussing what to do, what are we gonna do, what do we have to do? And there was some families had requested, and I kind of explained the situation and said, how can we go? We have a young child, like we can't go to quarantine camp. And it seemed like they were open to the idea of letting the families maybe just home quarantine. So we're praying for that, wishing for that. But Monday, we receive a call in the morning, and basically says the same thing. Joel has to come to quarantine camp because he has close contact. And the mom talks to them and says, oh, she explains the situation and says, it's very difficult. Is there any way? Can we just home quarantine? So they said, okay, we'll call you back. So still trying to work, still figuring all these things out, policy and what are we going to do? How do we handle this situation? That's what I'm doing, like in terms of church work, while wondering and worrying about what's going to happen with Joel and the family. And then we get another call in the afternoon, and they basically say there's nothing you can do. All the families have to send their kids to quarantine. And that was pretty final. And that's when I basically, my heart just collapsed. I couldn't function anymore. It was actually the first time in my adult life that I broke down and I just wept. My parents called me and I don't know, all these, because I'd been so stressed out the 4 weeks leading up to it with church stuff and just like trying to hold everything together. And then when that news hit, and I think, I mean, it's the idea of being forced to be separated from your family that just broke me. So I was weeping that whole day. And then come Tuesday, they call and it's actually happening. They're gonna come in a few hours. They pick up Mon and Joel and they go. And I was just that Tuesday, I was just depressed. I didn't want to do anything. And Wednesday, still not wanting to do anything, but we had a prayer meeting, a whole afternoon church prayer meeting, all SP prayer meeting, and Ricky brought a teaching. P. Ricky brought a teaching about we need a generation that will just minister before God, no matter what's going on. He's talking about Samuel. And that helped me because I was in a place where I really couldn't do anything. I couldn't pray, I couldn't worship. I couldn't really spend time with God. I was just in a really hard place, and that his word kind of encouraged me. Okay, that's what I need to do. Just minister before God. No matter the situation, go to God and worship. And in that week, somehow a phrase began to ring in my head, in my heart. I don't know where it came from, but it was basically, come just as you are, worship. Come just as you are and worship. The whole idea is I need to go before God just as I am, with all of my like questions, frustration, anger, fear, anxiety, and worry. Come just as I am, because He accepts us, right? He invites us to come just as we are, not to hide, not to pretend to have a spirituality that we don't have, right? We don't need to. We can be honest about where we are, and we can be real about where we are. We don't have to put up a spirituality that we don't have. But when I come before God, I want to come in worship. And He's inviting me to come as I am and worship. And so, I mean, that's what I try to do. I don't know if I really did a good job. Only this week, I'm beginning to feel like I'm just kind of coming out of, all that chaos in my heart. I'm able to read the Bible and spend time with God and kind of feel okay in a way. But Mary comes in worship, but she doesn't pretend like her pain is not there, right? She comes in worship, but she doesn't come and say, Lord, you are good, and Lord, I worship you, Lord, I love you. And she doesn't pretend like her pain is not there. She brings her pain to God. The first thing she says after she falls in worship is basically, why weren't you there? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I'm hurting. This sucks. Like, I'm full of pain. And she brings it to God, but she does it, she comes in worship. Job comes in worship, right? Job rips off his clothes, shaves his head, comes and falls down and worships. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But he declares, he says, well, God has taken everything away from me. And then after coming before God in worship, he has probably the longest complaint recorded in the Bible. As he just for chapter after chapter after chapter, he's complaining before God. But we find out God really approved Job's complaints and questions. And so God wants us to come in honesty and come just as we are. But I think there at the same time, he invites us to come in worship. You know, he wants that response of worship, no matter what we're going through, despite our questions and confusions and worries, anxieties, anger, frustrations, complaints, we come and we worship. And we come in humility, we come in surrender, and we come recognizing that he is worthy of our worship. And I think there's something about that that moves God. You know, he likes that kind of worship that comes from us. Okay, so that's what I want to encourage you with. Pastor Andrew is going to lead us in a song that basically talks about this idea. And so I want to invite us to go before God now in worship morning. And just want to encourage you, what posture helps you to worship? Is it kneeling? You know, is it falling on your face? I know you're in your home, so do whatever you want to do. But put a posture of worship. And let's spend some time just worshiping God, you know, what we're going through in our hearts. If you're lifting up your hands, it could be sitting up straight, standing up, you know. Okay, let's spend some time.
Just as you are to worship. worship. Come just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, now is the time before your God. Come, oh come, oh come.
Thank you, Pastor Andrew. Let me just pray. Dear God, thank you. You are worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our worship, no matter. Yeah, I mean, your worth is not dependent on our circumstances. And your glory and how much you deserve our worship doesn't change depending on circumstances, God. So help us to come before you with a posture of worship and to just to bow down, to kneel, to lift our hands, and to always come before you in worship, God. But at the same time, I know that you love our honesty and you love for us to come just as we are. And just help us, God, to be a church, to be people of God that do that, Lord, that walk in this kind of genuine, authentic worship, honest worship before you, and that our worship would move your heart. So we love you this morning. We thank you that we have this time. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community together in this time. Let's pray for those that are battling cancer or going through chemo, radiotherapy, or surgery regarding cancer. Let's pray for God's healing to come. Let's pray for strength for the people on this list, that they will be able to battle this thing. Let's pray. Be restored, I pray for Kiwan. Second slide. Let's pray for those that are ill and also in need of salvation. Father, pray for a lot of our parents, of our church members. Let's pray that they will encounter God through healing and also encounter God's mercy and love. To the third slide. Let's pray for just various infirmities that our church members and their family and friends are going through. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for those of us that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision for them. Let's go to our Wednesday prayer focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for our church plants there through Beijing and through Shanghai. Let's pray for the Tong family. My parents, they're actually retiring, but they haven't been able to go back, kind of closure to everything. So if you can pray soon, and let's pray for the churches in China. Arrive this time, really be on fire. Let's pray for the board. Let's pray for Pastor Sam, myself, Kiwan, Jackie, Connie, Sue, Ken, Marcus, and Sandy, and Vaughn is the secretary. Let's just pray that the board will really hear from God. This is a challenging time, a lot of decisions to be made. Let's just pray that they will be able to really hear from God and really lead the church and make decisions based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for the Lord. Pray for their personal lives. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries, young adults, men's ministry, women's ministry. Men's ministry has a morning prayer on Mondays, and Pure Desire courses. Women's ministry have Wednesday lunchtime prayer. These things, not sure. I think most of them are probably on hold for now, but let's pray that these things will thrive once we open back up. Let's pray for young adults, Yahweh, that they'll also be able to really connect with one another. The fellowship ministry will bear fruit. Let's pray for these ministries. Pray for SP 2.0. We're just praying based on a prophetic word we've received that there will be a benefactor. There's someone that will give a large donation, and that this place where we're at is not our permanent home. So we want to pray into that. We want to be faithful to the word that we've received. Let's pray that God will provide and God will lead us to the right building, that there will be a vision fund that people will be able to give generously, and that God will really lead us to the right place at the right time. So let's pray. Let's pray for our house churches. We're still on break this week, but let's pray that as they connect on Sunday and connect throughout the week, that there will be good fellowship, good leaders to be recharged, and that they will really connect to God. Break. Let's pray for our house churches. It would typically meet on Wednesdays. Thank you, Lord. God, we love you and we worship you. We praise you. Thank you for your word. Be with us today. Help us have a good and fruitful day with you. Help us to pray and read your word and really be aware of your presence, God, throughout the day. We give this day to you. We surrender our lives, our hearts to you. We praise you and we pray. Amen.